we set about, no, the autumn before, we set about looking for a new pastor. We considered, I think, three or four men. They didn't fit, and we didn't have a witness from the Lord about them. And a year ago, February, Ed rang up, having seen our advertisements, and we had, an hour and a half conversation. But at that point, Ed didn't feel comfortable in moving forward. But we found, come about this time of last year into June, that Ed had not left our minds. So we approached Ed and Anita and asked if they would be happy to explore, to see whether there was something here from the Lord. And Ed came to visit, and Anita, of course, keeping him on the straight and narrow still, for a long weekend. And after prayerful consideration, it seemed right that we should proceed. So Ed came for the inevitable Preach with a View weekend. The couple of weeks later, as a church, we had a church meeting to consider, and we voted 96% in favour of calling Ed, inviting him. So we then had another couple of weeks while they checked out whether we were on the straight and narrow. And we ended up here. Ed formally joining us at the beginning of February, literally the 1st of, well, actually it was the 31st of January was the official day. And we are very grateful to the Lord. So I just want to pray now for Ed and Anita and the fellowship, and then Ed will share a little bit of his perspective on things. So let's pray. Loving Father, thank you. You. Lord, may your glory be at the center of everything we do. Shape us into the church you're calling us to be, an oasis in a sun-scorched land, a well-watered garden, a spring whose waters never fail. In other words, make us a place of refreshment and hope. Let your love, grace, and mercy flow through us into our community. Help us to be people who know God, love God, and share God, so that others may see your goodness and praise your name. Empower Ed as he helps us to obey Jesus and share the good news. Unite us in one purpose. Deepen our faith. Make our life together fruitful, joyful, and full of your presence. May every step we take, every act of service and every word we speak bring honor to you. We place Ed, Anita, and our whole church family into your hands. We trust you for all that is ahead. May this new chapter be marked by growth, hope, and the glory of Jesus Christ amongst us. Amen. So, Ed.
Hello, y'all. I'm so glad we made it official that I'm pastor here before I speak. Yes, that's good. That was good planning, brother. That worked out perfect. So yeah, I have to use this thing. I'm basically an Irish Mexican. And yes, that's what I usually get is the laughter. I have to live with that. I'm an Irish Mexican from America, but I have a lot of other blood in me. I'm told that I'm also Italian, and that makes sense why I use my hands so much when I preach. Okay, so there. And yes, you guys are close enough for the preacher to spit on you. Get ready. I'm ready today. Well, before I share how a little bit how we got here, you settle down now. Me and Mr. Bales in the same room together after 12 years, more than that. But yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord. But I want to welcome all of you. I'm very pleased and happy you guys are here, and it's a blessing here. But there's a few people I want to thank. Well, I want to thank my dear brother Jason, who's babysitting my dear sister over there. And yeah, we have a wonderful relationship. She tells me what I'm supposed to do, and I do it. It's good. It's a wonderful relationship. It's beautiful. It's great. But I already mentioned Jeremy, but I'll talk about Jeremy here in a little bit later. He's my dear older brother and my dear older sister. I'm my dear, beautiful sister, his wife, Joy. And my mother-in-law, Anita's mom, is sitting here, and we're so grateful to have her. So you know all those mother-in-law jokes that I said? Well, you can see how true they are now. No, just kidding. Just kidding. My dear sister-in-law and her husband. I had a joke or two, but I'm going to leave that. So I love your brother. Okay. And one of my favorite people in the world, my son Nathaniel, which many of you know. See, he's worse than you are. How many years did you influence him? This is horrible. My dear brother, Jeff, is here. This, I'll talk about time when I was really sick for several years. And my dear brother, we were just doing ministry together when I got sick, but he came. He's not only a preacher and a wonderful man of God, but he's a trained counselor. So he would come and sit with me every week for 2 years, I think it was, until I got better. But I don't know if he remembers this, but when I first got so sick, I really couldn't even have conversations. And then after a while, I was starting to get more to be myself. And he said to me one day, he goes, "You're so much better now. You're more like yourself." I don't know if I like that. That's what he said to me. He said that to me. He's saying wrong. But I love him. Yeah. Yeah, there's certain things. But his wonderful wife, Miss Carol's here. And my dear friend Mark is here, their son Mark. And there's so many other people. I want to bring up my dear brother, Neil and Trina there. You'll be coming up in a bit. Not coming up, not that kind of coming up, but yeah, you will be coming up in a bit. So how did I get here? Well, it's God's fault. That's right there. But I thought about this, and there's three main ways that I could tell you. And briefly, I'm going to tell you all three ways. My friend Mark Schlegel, very dear brother of mine in... my dear brother in Denver, he said to me one time, he goes, "Ed, what are you telling the Lord you're not going to do?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Well, you said you were never going to become a Christian. You were never going to get married. You were never going to go full," I think it was full-time ministry. "I was never going to buy a house. I was never going to be a pastor." And he says, "So I want to know what you're saying you're never going to do, because that way I know what God's going to do next." I said, "I'm never going to be a millionaire." Oh yeah, God listens to that one. But one thing Anita and I said when we used to, this is when I met Neil Blake years ago in Leighton Buzzard. We were both youth pastors there. And when in 2004, when we moved to Dudley, where those people, they talk so strange. So you'll notice when Pastor Jeremy just sounds like Pastor Jeremy to me, but the rest of y'all might need the gifts of interpretation of tongues, that black country. Maybe, I don't know, you might, okay? But Anita and I both said, we're never gonna move down south again. Not because we didn't like down south, it's because we never thought we can afford it. But God is far above all those things, isn't he? So that's one way I could say how I got here. I said I was never going to come down here. That's how I got down here. Okay. Another way I can say of how I got here goes with my dear brother, Neil Blake. Now, I'm so blessed because Neil wasn't able to make it, him and Trina, until just 2 days ago, you told me, right? Yeah. And of course, the Lord hasn't answered my prayers. You still came. Just kidding, brother. Just joking. That's just a joke. So Neil and I were great friends in Leighton Buzzard. We are youth pastors together. And he's helped me through so many things back then. So then I moved to Dudley. And he was actually, when I was became the pastor there in Dudley, is Neil came and he was our guest speaker. And I'll say it now so I don't forget it. There was only one pastor before me in the church in St. Paul's, and that's who Pastor Jeremy was. So Neil passed the responsibility of taking care of me to Pastor Jeremy, and he's been doing it for 20 years. But me and Neil's been staying in touch for all these years. And he is the one that actually had Pastor Derek invite me here to do the teaching. You know, that was 19 years ago. We did the math 19 years ago. So he had me here, and I was teaching for a couple years during the holiday club, you know, teaching the young kids and the teenagers. And there's some that kind of, you guys didn't get too warped with me being around, did you? No. See, you just admitted that you're warped. Did you notice that? You just did. Okay. And Nathaniel and the others came, and it was wonderful. Well, first I came and taught for a couple of years, then there was like 2 year break. And then I started bringing my youth group from Dudley here. So that's another way of how we got here. We had those relationships that way. But I want to share something that goes back even further, that it was about 32 years ago is when Granddad Scott was in the hospital, and he wasn't doing well. And we were there. Anita was expecting Nathaniel, and we were in my church. And in my church there in Denver, twice a year to have missions weekend, and they bring a missionary that we support there and have them preach. Well, the guy was preaching there, and wonderful guy, but could not preach. He just was not a very good preacher. And me, being as mature and humble as I was back then, I said, Lord, I'm a missionary and I preach. Why do you have him? Why do they have him and not me? And the Lord spoke to me. And he says, well, see, the deacons in that church were the ones who put together the preacher rota. And the pastor can invite people, but they did the main thing. Well, the Lord spoke to me, and he says, the deacons aren't keeping you out of the pulpit. He said, the pastor's not keeping you out of the pulpit. He says, I'm keeping you out of the pulpit. I'm like, why? What? And then he started telling me how he needs to work on my character and work in my life. And he said, I'm going to work in your life just like I worked in Joseph, of the Old Testament Joseph, and go through all those things. Now, you guys are sitting there going, yeah. Okay, remember, that's the pit. Okay, he was in slavery. And you guys are not only nodding your head, you're smiling too. I had to live with the lamps. You were supposed to babysit him for me. Come on now. All right. So the Lord showed me, I'm going to go through all these things, and he's going to work in my life. And who were the ones that started this process that God used? His brothers, his family. But in my case, it was my family when I was younger. But then it's our Christian family. And so I went through a lot of seasons where, this is where Pastor Jeremy comes in. You know, unfortunately, things didn't go well when Jeremy was there. There was one couple in particular that stirred things up and brought a church split. And then I was there probably, I was there maybe a year, if even that. And that same couple, because I didn't agree with them, they tried to do the same thing to me as they did with Pastor Jeremy and everything. And I can't remember. I think Jeremy called me and one day asked me how I was doing. I'm like, I'm not well. And I told him what happened. And he said, can we come over? And I said, yeah, I was going to share this in a bit. So sorry, you're not going to get much later. Okay. So he goes, but want to come over. We don't want to talk about that couple. We want to be there with you. And they both came over and held me in the knee and we cried. Not one word about that couple. And trust me, there's many words we could use about that couple. Okay? Not one word. They just held me, loved me. They were ones that God was using to help me in my character, to be more like, I was going to say Jeremy and Joy, but I have to admit it, yes, more like Jeremy and Joy. And so that's part of what God was doing. And then unfortunately, my last church I was in, they made the church before that look like a holiday. It was so hurtful and so bad. But I was hoping that church was the palace. It's like, I've been through the pit. I've been into slavery. You know, I've been in the prison. Surely this is the palace. Well, that place was not the palace. Okay? And what came out of there is even some deeper hurts and wounds that I had pressed down. Some of the abuse that I had. So I was unfortunately physically abused from age 8, 9 years old. And I was bullied at school. And I had a lot of horrible things. You know, and at 14, I almost took my life. Because I was done with, I was an atheist. But God had someone call me that night and it changed my life. And then at 21 is when I became a Christian. But when I was at that church, some of the abusive things that happened was what I didn't realize, there's some things that happened, is I was struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder and I didn't realize it. And it came out. I mean, really big. I mean, Anita would just come into her room, and she's a sweet, nice lady. So that's not the real. Let's say that first before I say this next part. But it would scare me, and I'd start crying, and I would be shaken. And dealing with certain people who were mean and abusive, I was able to keep it together there, but inside I was dying. It was hurting me so much. And then I had this dear brother, but Pastor Paul wasn't able to, he's in Nelson, and his health isn't the greatest, so he couldn't make it here today. But for 6 years, he helped me, and we walked through this. And he and I were sharing messages a couple days ago, and I thought, I'm not the same person I was a few years ago. I'm definitely not the same pastor I was a few years ago. I was waiting to hear an amen here, but... That's good. That's good, brother. Restraint. But God took me through all this stuff and has me here, which leaves me with this last part. You all know that this has got to be the palace now, because I don't want to go through the prison and the pit no more. Okay, so this has to be. I'm going to close with that. So this is that's how the Lord worked in my life and brought me here. And no offense to any of y'all, but I was trying to fight coming here. Anita knew that we were supposed to be here before I did. Mike knew long before I did I was supposed to be here. But I was fighting it. And I'll just say it's yeah, people, because I, you know, I live in a country now instead of America where I don't get the, you know, sun on my skin very much. But I'm part Mexican in America. They can tell I'm mixed race. Out here, you can't. And I come out here, I'm like, Lord, it's just white middle class people. Where's all my brothers and sisters with color? No one's here. Well, so I fought it, and then the Lord brought me here. Ever since then, I'm running into all my brothers and sisters with, it's like, this is good. This is good. So My Bible. So I want to end with this last that kind of shares my testimony in a nutshell and why I am so blessed and so glad that God has brought us here together. It's in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, and I'll start at verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I say was, we just met. I've knocked down two of the punching bags so far at the gym, but I'm working on that. Okay. Yes, I was formerly a violent aggressor, yet I was showed mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Yes. And part of that faithfulness that the Lord has done with me has brought me my dear brother Jeremy, who has been there for years with me and held me as I cried. Oh, we talked about it today. After my last church, I was hurting so bad. I called him up. He remembers me calling. He doesn't remember the wonderful kind of advice he gave me. He is so patient with me. You know, you haven't once called me an idiot the whole time we've known each other, which I'm shocked. I was looking over you, not at you. But I called him and I said, Pastor, I'm done. I don't want to be a pastor ever again. It hurts too much. I'm done. I said, I want to go work at ASDA. He says he remembers that part. He doesn't remember this. I want to work at ASDA. That's how low I got, brother, that it was ASDA. I want to work at ASDA. It's the closest. It was the one closer to us. And I'm like, I want to go work at ASDA and stock the shelves. And he says, no. You're just tired. God has a calling on you. You just rest and don't think of doing anything there. And we think 22 years, it's been over 20 years. 22 years. So, you know, he wasn't gray at all before he met me and putting up with me all these years. So I'm going to pray for you, my brother. You want this or you want the yeah. So he's been a wonderful blessing and helped me out. He probably don't remember. He had to remind me over the years. He's my older brother and keep me straight. And he really has. Father, thank you so much for my dear brother. We thank you for how faithful you are, Lord God. And now we don't understand all your plans and everything, but we know how faithful you are and how gracious you are. Thank you for the blessing. Me and my brother are so different, but you've knit us together in a special way that we've been able to be there praying for each other and blessing each other and encouraging each other all these 20-some years, and it's not ending yet. And I thank you for that. Continue to be with him, Lord, and open up our ears and our hearts, our minds, to hear what you have to say through my brother today. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks.
Well, it is great to be with you. I hope you can understand me. Someone can, from our roots. But just to balance up Ed's testimony there, I think is useful for us all to know. In walking with Ed, especially in those years at Dudley, in walking with Ed, healed me as well. God does two things with us when we're willing to step out with each other and walk with each other. I come from the hurt of what that church had done to me. And Ed did his best to reconcile me to that church and to reconcile all those members to us as well. So I thank you, Ed. I thank you for the privilege of being with you. And it is a real privilege to be here today. So we rejoice with you in this new season that God has. in your lives, and in the life of this church. Song of Sons, chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, says this. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig trees forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Ed, Anita, church, I want to say to you all, it's a new season. And it's a new season of new life. It's a new season of new life that God is bringing you into. The early church used to love to read a psalm in this season after Easter, but before Pentecost. And they used to read Psalm 24. And it says this in verses 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. When that psalm was first written, it was at a time when the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, was being brought into Jerusalem by King David. But the early church picked it up and they recognized in those verses, this is us welcoming the risen Christ. This is us opening up our lives, opening up our hearts to the risen Savior who died, but who rose from the dead and lives forever and forever. You know, Jesus is alive. He is the King of glory. And he comes like the bridegroom to the bride in the Song of Solomon. And he says, come with me. Come with me. Ed has answered, I honor Ed and Anita for keep answering the call of God on their lives. Because they could have stopped and they could have given up. But we thank God that they continue to answer that call. But more importantly than the call of this church to Ed and Anita today, is you're answering the call of Jesus, come with me. But you as a church are also answering the call of Jesus, come with me. You're also taking that step. Incredible risk, I would say, but you're taking the step of inviting Ed and Anita to lead the church. God is good, and he has a good plan for you. He does have a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. It's an often quoted verse from the book of Jeremiah, of course, that I've heard the last 10 years so many times. We do like to ignore the fact it was also telling them there was 70 years of difficulty. But it was a reminder to them, in those difficult years, I still have plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I want to challenge you. Are you going to open up your hearts, your gates? Are you going to open up your lives to the risen Lord of glory in this season? Because it's a new season. But to enjoy a new season, you have to embrace it. And to enjoy this new season, you have to embrace the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You may honor him, you may know him as your Savior, but embrace it. Welcome him in to this season, for he is truly the King of glory. And he says, come with me. Now, in any new season, you know, if you think of the seasons of the year, this is a good season, isn't it? The sun's shining today, isn't it beautiful? And Ed's just took us for a walk around here, around this place. You've got a beautiful town, haven't you? I hope you appreciate it. You should come to Dudley and see what it's like. It's all right for you, mate. That's where God called me to. Look at you. One in three shops is open. The flowers we've got have all died because nobody bothers to water them. Hey, I tell you, God has brought you into a new season. I just need to put that right, actually. I love my town. I do love the Black Country. That's where God placed me. And that's where God put me. And right this time in our church, we've retired now. For 7 years now, we've been retired. But we're still in the church that we planted and that we was the pastors of. And I tell you what, we see more fruit now than I ever saw while I was the pastor. Yeah. The generation that came through, well, we saw come through, most of them we saw saved and then going on with Jesus, doing remarkable things. We've had more baptisms in the last 12 months than I had probably in the last 6 years. God is doing something. God is doing something special. And even now, if you think, I ain't got the strength to do the work anymore, there's always something to do. I can't go to church any Sunday without meeting somebody new right now and talking to Jesus about them. And make sure you're part of this new season here in this church. Make sure you're ready for what God is going to do in your lives and amongst this group of people. But those early disciples in this season after Easter had to welcome the risen Lord. And it was different. In each season, there's different sounds. In each season, there's different sights. And in each season, there's a different feel. It's nice to feel warm today. Some seasons bring a cold, don't they? Song of Songs, the winter is past. Life is coming. Those early disciples had to learn to open up to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. John's Gospel, chapter 20 and 21, we read there three, I'm going to pick out three of those early disciples who met with the risen Christ. Now, they thought the mission, their Savior, their Lord. They thought all the plans that they had were dead. Finished. They thought it was over. And Mary, she went to the garden, went to the tomb to bring oil, fragrance to put on the body of Jesus. But when she got there, the stone was out the way. And there was nobody there. And then Jesus came to her and she didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener. Then we read in verse 16 of chapter 20, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. She was saying, my master, my Lord, my teacher. Teacher's not quite enough of the language that Rabboni gives us. The term expresses a personal connection, a devotion, a recognition of his authority. You see, Mary, her devotion was never in question, but she didn't expect a risen Savior. What are your expectations today in this new season, Ed, Nita, church? What are your expectations today? Because Jesus promises to do more than we can think, pray, or imagine. But what are your expectations? Mary came to that tomb. She was planning to live out her life in mourning. That was her plan. She was going to live out the rest of her days mourning for the fact the Saviour had died. But one word, her name, changed everything. When we're going to open up our ears, we will hear the voice of Jesus, I promise you. May not be audible, but you know he is speaking. I read the Bible every day, but there are some days when Jesus really speaks to me. There's other days I just read it. But he will speak. If we're open to him, he will speak. I want to encourage you in this season, Ed and Anita, church, open your ears to what Jesus said. It will be personal to you because Jesus will make it personal to you. And I promise you this, it will change everything. It will change your expectations. It will change everything about you because Jesus is alive. What about Thomas in these verses? What about this man? He doubted. He doubted anything would change, despite what the other disciples had said. We've seen the Lord. He appeared to us, but he wasn't there. And he doubted. John 20, verses 27 and 28. Jesus said to Thomas, when he appeared again, he's in the room and Thomas was there. He says, Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand, put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Thomas saw Jesus. And that day he was different. My Lord and my God. John, when he was writing John's gospel, planned that gospel out, the order that he wrote it in, he planned it out to come to this massive highlight. Jesus is God. That's the revelation. That he is God, he is God's son. And here in this verse, almost reaches the summit of the gospel. My Lord and my God. The climax of the gospel in Thomas. You know, Thomas never lacked courage and he never lacked commitment. Out of all the disciples, when you read John's gospel, remember when Jesus had been to Jerusalem. They tried to stone him and he escaped. He crossed Jordan into a safe place. And then he got a message. Lazarus is ill. It's a friend of Jesus. Mary and Martha sent for Jesus. Would you come? And all the disciples says, no. Don't do that, Jesus. That's crazy. But Thomas stood out from the rest. He says, let's go with him. Let's go with him and die with him. Thomas had courage and he had commitment, but he needed to see Jesus in a new way. And in the new season, folk, be alert and open to see Jesus in a new way. The God who can do anything, the God who raises from the dead, the God who can do the impossible. Welcome him into the new season. And then finally, I've got to talk about Peter, haven't I? In those chapters, chapter 21, when we come to when Peter had met with Jesus and Jesus cooked them breakfast on the seashore and Peter comes out to the boat and meets with him. And they then have this discussion as Jesus takes him to one side. And in the discussion, he says in verse 17, for the third time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said this. This is important. This is what Peter says. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know, Peter had blown his most important relationship. I don't know how you're walking with Jesus today. You may be in church, but how is your relationship truly with Jesus today? How well are you embracing him, your Savior and your Lord? A transformation came in Peter when Peter knew that Jesus knew how much he loved him. Jesus does this, doesn't he, Ed? He unpacks our own hearts. He reveals to us. You know, there's a prayer in the Psalms when we ask God, reveal to me any offensive way in me. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. But what he'll also unpack out of your heart is the real love you have for him. And when Peter come to that place where he knew that Jesus knew how much he loved him, everything changed. Everything changed at that point. Their relationship was fully restored. In fact, I would suggest to you, Peter had a better relationship than he ever had before. Because as only my God I know can do it out of brokenness. He can fix it and make it better. That's the God I know. That's the Jesus I know. That's the Lord we serve. And for you folk, whatever your relationship is with the Lord, whether you're devoted, committed, courageous, or whatever, I want to say to you today, he wants to rekindle the fire of love within you for your Savior. He wants to rekindle that love. That's been happening to Ed and Anita, I know, but he wants it for all of you as a church. He wants you to get fired up again in your love for your Savior. And the best way you'll do that is by getting close to Jesus, listening to him, seeing him, and letting him expose your heart so that you will know that Jesus knows how much you love him. Let your love be rekindled. So I pray, may you enter into this new season with your ears open to his voice. Welcome Jesus, allow him to heal your broken heart. May you enter into this season with your eyes open to his presence. Welcome Jesus, overcome your doubts where you say, no, God can never do anything here. I promise you he can. He can do the impossible. May you enter into this season with your hearts open to love him. So welcome Jesus and allow him to rekindle that fire of love in your relationship with him. I'd like to pray from Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17 for Ed and Anita, for all you as a church, a great prayer that the Apostle Paul gave us. Let's pray. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good work and word. Amen.
Thank you very much, Jeremy, for that word from the Lord for us and for Ed and Anita. I think it was absolutely spot on. We are going to have a time of prayer now to pray for the elders, deacons, and ministry team members of the church here. So if I could ask Mike and Janet, Ian and Sue Appleton, Susan Kirby, Mick and Joy, Gary, Enid and Laura to join me at the front, please. And then we're going to ask Mike Mitchell, Carl Johnson and David Chan to come and pray for the ministry team and for the church. Sorry, yes. How can I forget Ed and Anita?
Okay. I can't believe, I was going to say, I can't believe he did that. Yeah, I can. Let me tell you why we're having all these people up. Because when we were praying about this and stuff, I'm like, guys, I know it's my induction, but though I'm the pastor, I'm not the leader. We are the leader. And I said, I don't even want to pray just for us three elders. What about those people who help us do so much? Because some of the people up here are also deacons or deaconesses, but then it goes beyond that too. But just because you're sitting there doesn't mean that you're not as much a part of what God's doing in here. It's just we're the ones that God has doing a different part of the puzzle. We're a different piece of the puzzle at this point, but you're all very important. We all are. All right, I'll shut up. Take that.
Thank you. I'll pass over to Carl.
Excellent. Let's pray. Yeah, sure. So just introduce myself. So I'm Carl, and privileged alongside my wife Dani of leading the Letchworth Garden City Church, in Elim Church here in the town. And so it's just a joy to be here with you this afternoon, and welcome on behalf of all the other church. I know Pastor Emmanuel's here as well from the Methodist Church. And so it's just a real joy to pray for you as a team. So should we pray? If you're comfortable, would you stretch out your hands towards these amazing people as we pray just God's blessing over them? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of this occasion. Father, we thank you for your spirit amongst us, Lord, and just the sense of welcome and faith that you're stirring in this room. And Lord, we do recognize this is a new season that we are stepping into, a new season in the life of this church. And Father, we just pray, Lord, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 43, he says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it?" Well, Lord, we are perceiving that there is a new thing that you're about right now. And I ask, Lord, right now, would you help us for this church, this family in this season, for elders, deacons, pastors, Lord, may we come into alignment with all that you have for us, because Lord, we don't want to miss a thing. Lord, we want to receive everything you have for us. And so Lord, we ask, Lord, just as we've heard so much already this afternoon about hearts being worked on, Lord, would you work on our hearts to bring us into alignment, Lord, because we don't want to work against you. We want to work with you by the aid and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so we pray blessing over this church. We pray, Lord, that you would lead them into a new season. Just that word in Genesis 26 comes to mind about leading Isaac into Rehoboth, Lord, and that was a place of flourishment, a place of wide open space. Father, I pray that you would lead them into a new season where there is wide open space for them to flourish as a fellowship in the things of the Lord. And Lord, we pray just a great blessing. We pray you would strengthen this team. We pray you would arm them with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Hand over to David, who for just over 20 years was pastor of the Chinese congregation here.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will joy and glad in it. Give us, Lord, offer thanks for God's blessing in the past. As Jesus contemplated dying on the cross, he offered thanks to God. Perhaps he was thanking God for many provisions in his ministry up to the point. Perhaps he was thanking God for his redemptive purpose from the very dawn of beginning. Perhaps he was thanking God further for the divine protection of the servants through the centuries. Perhaps he was thanking God for his abiding presence. All we are together, the servant of the Lord and our congregation, deacons, elders, all together we are rejoicing the day you have made. You chosen us first. Then we follow and trust and obey. You're always, always a wonderful God. It is because we absolutely follow your presence of every moment. Our wonderful God, how can we also thank you for your extraordinary love to us in Christ? We thank you for the way you have made yourself and your purpose known. May we all together say hallelujah, praise to the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi. Just can't see Mike. Oh, there you are. Sorry.
I'm Mike Mitchell from Grange Baptist Church, and we bring our greetings and welcome to you two as pastor here. A very warm welcome from our folk at the Grange. And we want to pray for you as a church. Just to say, my wife and I go back 76 years with this church. And I was meeting a few days ago the grandson of one of the founder members way back in the 30s. Richard Morris, and he sends his greetings too. So let's pray, shall we? Our gracious Lord Jesus and loving Heavenly Father, we come into your presence with a sense of great joy and thanksgiving as we celebrate Ed, his induction here with Anita as pastor of this church. May this day and the days that lie ahead be a time of great blessing to the church and a great joy in knowing your presence. We praise you for the rich heritage of the church, its witness and outreach over so many decades. Thank you that it has never stopped proclaiming the good news of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ in this community and much further afield. We remember with great gratitude those godly men who have pastored the church over the years and the rich fruit of their ministries, which has changed lives and offered lives in your service. Thank you too for the faithful support and the shared leadership of the elders and countless others who've supported the work so faithfully here. At the Grange, we especially thank you for the vision of Westview to plant a church on the estate and for its support and encouragement over the years. We thank you too for the establishment of the Cantonese Church right here in this building and the mutual support that has existed here over the years. You're an amazing God, sending out Stephen Knights, a young man from this church in the 40s, to be a missionary in China. And then all these years ago, and now seeing the fruit of that mission work right here before our very eyes. We praise you, God. Father, although through the guidance of your Holy Spirit you have led Ed to become pastor here, we uphold him before you this afternoon. Together with the elders, Mike and Steve, and the whole team serving you, bless them, encourage them, give them your strength, we pray. Father, will you grant Ed and fellow leaders great joy as they serve you together. Continue to guide them through your word to preach and to teach it faithfully, and grant them wisdom in all the challenges that might lie ahead. May Ed and the whole church here continue to be a beacon of light and hope in a increasingly dark world, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the love of Christ bind your people together. And will you take them forward in harmony and shared purpose? So, in this new season, we give you our praise and thankfulness as we ask these prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Okay, thanks very much, Carl, Mike, and David. If everybody else wants to go and take their seats again. So we're going to hand over again to More Than a Song for another short time of worship.